we've got almost these time capsules of meteorites that are being saved, so the Apollo samples, for example, that haven't been touched. So therefore, they're waiting for, as our scientific equipment, et cetera, and understanding improves, then we'll sort of get them out of the wrapper.
Get them out of the wrapper.
So yeah, they are sort of like time capsules.
Yeah, yeah, they really are. And I mean, this is one of the whole points of doing these sample return missions, is that meteorites that fall to Earth, even if you have somebody lucky enough right there waiting for it to land, or is just right in the right place when a meteorite lands, as soon as that object hits the Earth's atmosphere, travels through the Earth's atmosphere and lands on the ground, it has become contaminated with Earth stuff. And I don't mean Earth as in soil, I mean Earth's atmosphere, you know, the ground that it's touched, that will be picking up contamination. So we can do things to try and minimise that contamination and certainly not make the meteorites any more contaminated as we're curating them, but that's why sample return missions are going to be so valuable, is because not only can we pick up material, keep it very clean and very pristine until we get it back into the labs to start studying it, the main thing is we know exactly where we have picked those things up from. And at the moment, we only have three places that we know we get meteorites from, which is Mars, the Moon, and asteroids. Now, most of our meteorites that we have on Earth come from the asteroid belt, probably about 99%, but we can't pin, apart from one group called the HEDs, we can't pin down a specific asteroid. We know roughly which type of asteroid, but we can't say it's from that one or it's from that one. And it's the same with the Mars and the lunar meteorites, isn't it, Sarah?
Yeah. Yeah, we've no idea really, or we've got little idea where on, you know, where from Mars or the Moon certain rocks have come from. And so in terms of the level of uncertainty that we're dealing with when we're trying to use these rocks to piece together that jigsaw puzzle of how did our solar system form or Mars form, etc., etc., the fact that we don't know where the rocks have come from just adds huge elements of uncertainty into that.
We don't have that contextual information that we would do as a terrestrial geologist, and Sarah and I both did our undergraduate degrees in geology, so we were trained as terrestrial geologists. You know, you go out and, first thing is you choose your field site. You choose your field site usually because you know roughly what's there, because there's a geological map. You go to that field site, you map it, you investigate it. You've got a very good idea of what's going on, and then you select your samples to take back into the lab. You've got a good geological story there. With the meteorites, we've just got the sample, and we have to sort of guess the geological environment just from the sample.
So it does feel like, as a science, this is just at the beginning of something that's going to be really amazing.
Yeah, we are the cosmic innovators and cosmic detectives.
I was going to say the sky's the limit, but that's really bad.
That's quite a good one,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah.
Well, I could keep asking you questions all day because we haven't even talked about the Andromeda strain. And
best film, best book.
The possibility of space bugs contaminating the Earth, but we're fairly confident that's not going to happen.
I think the chances, you know, well, I was just about to turn to H.G. Wells. The chances of anything coming from Mars or a million to one or something, he said. But it's, yes, I mean, it's one of those things, you know, what are the chances of extant life on Mars? Probably quite slim, but the more we understand about the environment of Mars, actually, the more possible it is. And then what are the chances of that extant life, if there is any there, being hazardous to Earth? Again, probably quite slim, but we don't know, and therefore we have to, quite rightly, very much on the side of caution, because we don't want a situation like the Andromeda strain or the new film Life, which are great sci-fi films. You know, I really enjoy them, but you know, we are very, very carefully planning, working with colleagues in biology and, you know, hazardous materials to make sure that, you know, when we come to bring samples back from Mars, we're doing nothing that would risk Earth's biosphere. So we're taking it very, very seriously, and we're being very careful. Personally, me as a scientist, as an individual, I don't think there will be any hazardous Mars material, but, you know, never say never. Better safe than sorry, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's a really exciting, fascinating branch of science, and thank you so much for coming to the Geological Society to talk to us about it.
You're very welcome. Thanks for inviting me.
Thank you to Sarah for joining in.
Pleasure. Thank you very much.